Taxes. Tax season. The season most people love to hate. Well, we're not quite there yet in the calendar, but we soon will be. And there are some things that you can do to save on your taxes. So this is a perennial topic. Our guest investment advisor, Omar Sheikh, he's with Echelon Wealth Partners, and he has five things you can do now to save on your income taxes. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. I wanted to thank you for having me.
Totally my pleasure. I want to talk about charitable donations because, I mean, it's one of those feel-good things. You cut the check, you get the receipt, you save it until you file your taxes. What should people know about how that works and how to take advantage of that?
That's a great question, Bruce. And this is something I see all the time. And one thing that I would really recommend clients and investors, Canadians, really consider, really focus on taking advantage of that tax credit that you earn for donations above $200.
Right. Is it a total of above $200 or per donation?
It's per donation above $200. And put another way, if you're making multiple donations, smaller donations add up to that amount throughout the year, really the top federal tax credit kicks in for amounts that are above $200.
So you're saying instead of cutting two checks for $100, cut one check for $200.
No, you can definitely add them up. So if you're making multiple donations throughout the year,
it's fine. So just definitely donate more than $200, everybody.
Donate more than $200. But, you know, there's a few strategies that I would add to that as well. And sometimes it's difficult to come up with $200, especially when you've got, you know, 6 weeks left in the year or so and you're trying to find some year-end tax planning to do. A few good strategies. The first I'd recommend is you can actually hold on to those tax receipts for a future year. So if you find that you're the type of person making smaller donations throughout the year and they don't necessarily add up to $200, well, hold on to those receipts for a future year. That way you can get the biggest bang for your buck by making that donation and having the most amount above $200.
My way's easier. Just donate more than $200.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Carry forward on balances on RESP contribution. I am a nut about the RESP.
Right.
How do you make sure you get the most out of that grant?
This is a phenomenal program. And in the investment business, I'm always surprised to see clients not taking full advantage of the RESP program. What you really want to do is consider all of the benefits. And at Echelon Wealth Partners, we take a holistic view, and we don't just consider the government grant associated with the RESP, which I find a lot of people tend to fixate on. What you really want to do is understand the benefits of the tax deferral, the income splitting opportunity, as well as the government grant. So what that means is you would want to consider, first of all, catching up on all of the missed years worth of government grants. The catch is that you can make at most a contribution or receive at most a grant in any 1 year of $1,000.
Right.
So if you've got 5 years worth of grant room that you've accumulated and you haven't taken advantage of, you'll want to sit down with your advisor and work out a strategy such that your contributions that you make every year will maximize the grant received. So for example, if you're making a contribution of $5,000 in 1 year because you've accumulated 5 years worth of room, you'll get the full $1,000 government grant, basically making up for two missed years. Well, you'll want to space that out in a way where every year you're earning the maximum.
Because you basically can go back in time 1 year.
Absolutely. Each time. So you can go back in time 1 year at a time.
One of the other things to talk about is capital needs and thinking about how you then would utilize your TFSA in that context. Tell me.
Sure. You know, the TFSA program being so new, I find a lot of Canadians are still confused around exactly how the rules work.
Yeah.
And this is something I've seen all the time. Clients bringing in statements that say they're getting reassessed through CRA and they're being penalized for early contributions. You want to be mindful of the key rule. Any money that's coming out of that TFSA plan, you can absolutely replace, but you have to wait until at least January 1st of the following year.
Right.
So when sitting down with your advisor, you'll want to figure out, well, what are your cash flow needs over the next, call it 12 to 18 months? Are there any withdrawals that you're considering doing from the TFSA? You know, TFSAs are great for long-term savings. Sometimes you need to dip into them early. Well, if you're planning a withdrawal, consider making that withdrawal before the end of the year. That way, you have the flexibility to be able to recontribute that amount. You don't have to wait until January 1st. Right. It maximizes the flexibility with the program.
Tax loss selling and that whole game is relevant for people who have had a loss, but also you need a gain to offset the loss, right?
Absolutely. So tax loss selling, it's especially important in a year like this year where you've got the TSX trading down at this point roughly 8% or so on the year, there's a lot of people out there holding investments in their non-registered accounts where they're trading at a loss. So you first want to make sure that if you do have capital gains that you've realized earlier in the year, you're realizing whatever losses, so you're selling investments that potentially no longer fit with your portfolio, that are trading at a loss, you're realizing that loss to first offset any capital gains triggered or realized within this calendar year. The other point that a lot of people forget, unfortunately, you can carry back those losses to the previous three tax years. So if you've had great years in the market in 2015, 2016, and 2017, you can actually realize a loss today, take that loss back over those 3 years after first offsetting the current calendar year's gains and offset gains from previous years, and CRA will basically reassess your return from that year, and you have potentially some hidden tax savings.
You also have a tip on the RIF. So for those people who have turned 71 and they're in that point at which they are about to or have converted from an RSP to a RIF, what should they know?
You know, this is another great opportunity to save some tax. And, you know, probably one of the most unknown available tax credits out there is something called the pension income tax credit. So once you reach at least age 65, you can actually begin to draw a certain amount from your RIF, even if you don't need the funds. And provided you're not otherwise making use of that pension income tax credit, you can draw up to $2,000 a year from your RIF and basically have that money earned or taken out tax-free. So that's very applicable to people aged at least 65 who may not have converted their RSP to a RIF yet, but it's something they can take advantage of. Again, it's about taking out income from your RIF and not paying any tax on it. Make sure you're taking advantage of that pension income tax credit.
A lot of people consider investing and taxes to be very distinct processes. They happen can happen at different times a year. They may use different people. Like either they do their taxes on their own or they have an accountant, but that isn't the same person necessarily as who helps them on investment advice. What's the number one thing that you would say to people who want to do a better job of bringing those two things together?
It's all about the holistic view. And again, at Echelon Wealth Partners, we're a full service advisory firm. Myself as well, you know, to give you some background, I am a certified financial planner and I'm also a CFA charter holder. So that puts someone like me in a position to really look at it from a financial planning standpoint, which definitely incorporates tax planning, but also incorporating the investment management side of that as well. They are absolutely inseparable. Mm-hmm. You need to consider the tax implications of any investments you're making. And at the same time, when you're making an investment, you want to make sure that you're making the investment from an investment standpoint first and then considering the tax implications. You don't want to be in a position where you're spending $2 to make one.
Right.
And sometimes we see that in the investment world, especially when you're looking at different, you know, tax shelters.
We're Canadian. We pay taxes here.
That's
we get a lot
exactly
of good goodies for our taxes. But let's not pay too much.
That's right? The key.
Let's not pay too much. Thank you very much, Omar.
Bruce, thank you again for having me.
Omar Sheikh is with Echelon Wealth Partners. He was here talking about five things that you can do now to save on your income taxes when it's time to file.